Hello everybody, it is me, Motunrayo. Yes, I am back to podcasting and I took a long break and I explained it in the previous episode. I hope my apologies and my reasons are okay. But yes, on today's episode I am with a friend, Shay. Shay is actually going to be driving today's episode and I'm excited to see how it goes. Our title is Home. Let's see how it goes. And yeah, meet Shay, everybody.
Hi Shay, welcome to Sense and Rants. Would you please introduce yourself?
So my name is Shay.
Okay.
I'm from Nigeria.
Okay.
And I came to the United States about 7 years ago.
Okay, you're getting there.
Yeah, for grad school.
Yeah.
And since then, I've completed 2 graduate degrees, and I'm now a college faculty teaching media and communication.
For some weird reasons, I thought you had a PhD.
Yes, I do.
In 7 years. So you have 2 masters and a PhD?
No, funny, just 1 master's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, I for say, Oga, you like book,
but... I know, it's not, everybody like book, but you get limit, you know?
I mean, you got an entire PhD. That's like the creme de la creme, but okay. Okay, What part of the states are you local to?
Sorry?
What part of the state are you? Do you currently live?
I live in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Shy City. Hi. 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 So
I just moved to Chicago 2 years ago, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where were you originally?
I was in Texas.
Oh, you went to Lagos first too. Okay. All right. And then you actually moved to the America. I just feel like Texas is just like Lagos, London type place.
But, I mean, it depends on where you are. So I was in a smaller town.
Okay.
You know, I was in a smaller town, not like in the
Houston, Dallas.
Or Dallas is of this world.
Yeah.
Where you run into a Nigerian on every other street corner.
Literally, the first time I went to the airport, like when I got out, yeah. I heard people speaking Igbo and Yoruba, and I was like, yeah, I'm home. Like, I literally feel like home. Which kind of brings us to our topic, home. Yeah. And I'll let you introduce our topic since it's your episode. I'm just guessing on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is interesting in that, so this whole home conversation, right? It started, I think it started after the last time I went to Nigeria. And that was in 2019.
Oh, so just before COVID hit, lucky you.
Yeah, just before COVID hit. So I came here in 2014 and I didn't visit again until, I didn't visit until 2019.
Okay, so 5
and,
years.
I mean, that was about 4 years and I had missed home like, I can't even explain it. You know, I hadn't seen my parents, my siblings, friends, you know, I hadn't seen them in a while, obviously. And so I went back home and it was a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know how it's like you go back home and it's like, yeah, this is home, but it's just, it feels different.
When you say different, does it feel foreign home or does it feel like it's no longer what it used to be type different?
So it felt a bit foreign. It felt a bit foreign. Obviously, things had changed.
Yeah.
But then maybe I was the one who had changed.
That's a good point, right? That is actually a very valid point. Well,
go ahead. Yeah. And so it got me thinking about, you know, what exactly is home and, you know, whether after moving out of one place we call home, you know, whether we find a new place we call home or whether, you know, throughout life, you know, you move from place to place, from circumstance to circumstance, and whether home is just something in your head.
That's transient.
Exactly.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what got me thinking about it. And, you know, I decided to take it on as just a pet project.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Instead of, you know, sweeping around in my head and looking for answers, actually talk with people who have had the same experience. And That's how we got talking about home.
Here.
So let me bring this back to
exactly like back to tell us the backstory to the backstory of this episode.
Okay, so you are actually the second person I spoke with.
Okay, so let's take it to the beginning then. How did this entire conversation get started?
Okay, yeah. So I started by talking with a friend, Chioma.
Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know Chioma by now, I am so judging you. Like, I feel like Chioma is a sense and runs family. Like, you should have seen our two or three episodes by now. So yeah, go check it out.
Yep. So I started by, you know, talking with Chioma, and obviously myself and Chioma have been friends for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she had the same experience of, you know, leaving your country, leaving your home, coming here. And so I was curious to know what she thought. And we spoke at length, I think about 2 hours, just back and forth.
Yeah.
It just became more of a discussion. It wasn't even an interview, just chatting, trying to pick her brain. And then she connected, you know, she gave me a contact, and that was another back and forth for, I don't even remember how long we talked.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And since then, I've had some additional questions that I would like to, I've thought about some additional questions.
All right, let's take it on. Let's go. So guys, this entire episode, we're literally going to be talking about the definition of home and how that changes with relocation or immigration, or, you know, just home in general, what it is, what it can be. So let's see how this goes. I'm excited. Okay, so you take it away.
All right. So I wrote down a couple of questions
okay.
that I planned on asking you, and I'm sure some additional questions are going to pop up
as
you answer this one. So some of these are questions I've already asked you from previous conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's see. So what pictures come to mind when you think about the word home?
Ooh, pictures. It's more like names of places. So I would say Lagos. I would say Ikene, mm-hmm. where in Ogun State. Shout out to Mayflower School. I'll say Taiwo Saleh. It's a place in Ilorin, Nigeria, at Ilorin Kwara State. I'll say Ilaramoki, Akure, mm-hmm. Ondo State. I'll say Winnipeg, Manitoba. And then recently I'll say Minneapolis. So these are like places. But when I think about picture, I would say a long hall, about 200 to 300 bunk beds of middle kids, high school girls dormitory. That's the style of the hostels we have back in Mayflower.
Yeah.
So that was home for me for 8 years, actually, because I was there from primary 4 to SS3.
Yeah.
I would say home is a one bedroom attached to a Face Me, I Face You in a lorry. That was the place where I feel like I grew into who I was as an adult. That was my 18-year-old hustle. I have to study law. I have to, then law became, maybe not. And then that was like, I picked up, you know, hair making, makeup. Like, that was where I became an adult, working with my hands. So Ilorin for sure. And I'll say 179 Dalhousie, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Like, that house, always and forever, my heart. That house, because it's one of the homes that I lived in, a one bedroom with two guys, because we're broke ass students.
I was gonna ask what that experience was like.
It was fun. Shout out to Tokwe and Ayo. We were broke students hustling on the streets, and yeah, we lived in the same room. People always thought like I would date either one of them or whatever, but they're both getting married. We're still very much friends, and yes. So those are the places and buildings I picture when I say when I say home. But like I said, home for me is always transient. Like, I feel like it's always changing. Mm-hmm. over the years, home has become my hands, literally my palms. It's become where I can hold myself when the going gets tough. It's when I'm cold, it's the things I wrap around myself to feel more comfortable. That's home for me. So whether it's a military base where the bed is like twin size, or it's outside in the cold where literally you are in a foxhole somewhere, or I'm in a king size bed in a fancy 5-star hotel, my arms, my hands will always be there to hold me, to wrap around myself. And yeah, that's home. That's home as well, at least to me.
Okay, so while you were responding, I was writing down some things, just some observations.
The lecturer that you are.
I think it's just second nature by this time.
Okay.
So one of the things I was taking note of is the fact that, so you mentioned places, but you mentioned two people.
Yeah.
So it seems... When you think about those places, are there any spectacular experiences that made you think about those places? Because from, if I remember correctly, you didn't spend, you weren't in Winnipeg for...
I was in Winnipeg for a little over a year, I think.
That's not a very long time.
Yeah, but it's a huge part of my adult life. That's where I don't know. I feel like Ilori prepared me for adulthood, but I fully entered into that in Winnipeg. That was where I became, okay, this is the time for me to become their adult, because I was there with our family, you know. It just, in a different continent, in a different state, in a different everything, it felt like I had to grow up twice faster, even though I was already like, twice faster in Nigeria. Like I went to boarding school at what, 11. After high school, I never actually went back home or whatever. I was in Lorry, you know, getting my own things and doing. And then I left the country. Like I left the comfort of what is familiar. I left the comfort of my family for something uncertain, you know. So that for me became, that was when I felt like I grew, like, I grew into that adulthood, like, this is it. And I feel like home can also be people, you know. Sometimes they make the home, not the building, well.
Yeah.
Not the building itself, just like the people you get to share it with.
Do you feel at home here?
Right now?
Yeah.
What do you mean here? Like in Minneapolis or like my current home or?
Okay. So let's say, in the US, do you feel at home here in the US?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I do. When it comes to the creative part, sometimes I really do. Let's take it back a little bit. I used to always feel very, very comfortable at home, no matter the killings. You know, the killings were of Black people were like, oh, in other states, it didn't really affect me until it happened in Minneapolis. And I was like, oh, like all those racist things that you hear about on TV, that you see or whatever, that you watch on TV and hear on radio or whatever, it's in my neighborhood now. You know, it's different when it's like 10 states away or 30 states away, but when it's your place and you know that that could literally be your brother. My brother lives here, so it's like, is it Black man? Is this, is that? And I have friends whose kids are like 17-year-old, you know, 6 feet basketball, you know, football players. And it's just like, that could literally be my friend's son.
Yeah.
And that changed a little bit. And also with some things that happened within my career, some things that were said to me and how the entire case was handled. I've felt like her other this recent past 2-3 years than I have over the past decade of living here. So yeah. Recently I've questioned, it doesn't feel like home as much anymore. Yeah.
Okay. So In this response you gave, or I think the last response, you talked about growth.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about people.
Yeah.
You talked about home as a place that's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else I'm curious about. So when you think about the times you've grown the most, and I'll try to tie this back to your Winnipeg experience. thinking about the times you've grown the most,
mm-hmm.
right? And you had to, you know, overcome an obstacle, or you didn't feel like you belonged in a place, but you were able to overcome some challenge and, come to see that place as home,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever that looks like or feel like. Can you talk about some of the maybe radical experiences or challenges that you overcame, say in Winnipeg, or say from that move from Nigeria to Winnipeg, or?
I don't know. So when I left Nigeria with dreams, right? If you knew me like 10, 11, 12 years ago, you would know that, man, if I say I want something, I'll go get it, you know? So when I left Nigeria, I was that driven kid, right? You know, I left with nothing and I knew how to provide for myself. So the first thing I did was I had a flyer, like a beauty flyer. So I used to like design Ankara, Ankara summer dress, skirts, whatever. I had one for hair making, makeup, massage, and I was also writing my script because I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. And shout out to my friend Ngozi, one of my absolute favorite human beings. When I was making her hair, she was the first person that read my script in Winnipeg. I've just always been, so the very first years I left, I didn't pay attention to the noise around me. I had my eye on, you know, I'm going to get a degree within three to four years. You've heard, you know, what people say, it takes like 5 to 6 years because you're trying to get into the system and understand.
Yeah.
You probably fail your first year because of learning difference. And I was like, nope, 3 to 4 years, I need to do this so I can move on to something. And I did finish in, I think, 3 years and a couple months. And when I moved down to Minneapolis, it was a little different for me because I wanted to make film, right? So I always thought acting would be my introduction to filmmaking. But I went for an audition and they told me, you talk too fast and you have an accent, so no. And I was like, oh, okay, well then, let me re-strategize. So that was when I actually like took up screenwriting as, okay, this might be my alternate mm-hmm. idea or way to get into filmmaking. But I also remember talking to someone my very first year here, and they said, oh, just go and do nursing. Like, nursing is quick money. It's easy. I remember going to go get the form, actually, like, okay, let me just make money. If this is what everybody seemed to want to do here, that makes, you know, as a Nigerian, you have to have your education. You have to have the money to show for it. I collected it from, I looked at it for like, I don't really like biology. Like, I hate blood. Like, I don't have the patience to be carrying people or like putting something around something to be. I was just like, nah, like I have to stay true to myself. That was one of the first decisions as an adult that I feel like there are days that I'm not sure if, I wouldn't want to say it set me back, but it was one of the moment that I feel like I fought for my future self. I fought for my passion, but more importantly, I chose the little girl that believed in me in the first place that still lives in me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to stay true to her dreams regardless of the situation, what circumstances around my current state, you know, is telling me or was telling me at that time. I don't know if that answers the question, but
partly. I mean, obviously the questions I'm asking are not questions that I expect
clear-cut yes, no
answers.
Yeah.
The way I see it, I'm asking questions and, you know, it's like trying to paint a picture. Right.
Let me okay. You answer that question. Let me see how.
Oh, yeah, okay. Throw the question at me.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the question?
You asked the question.
So I think the question you just finished responding, the question you just finished responding to.
Yeah, it was something about how did I change from, you know, moving from Nigeria to Winnipeg and then Winnipeg to the States.
Yeah, and some of the challenges, right?
Yeah, challenges. Yep.
Okay, yes. So
okay. I think.
All right, well. When you were talking about the way you used to think about the shootings, you know, the police brutality, you know, your friends who have grown up kids and how it could be them and all that. I was thinking about some of my experiences. So when I first got here 2014 and being in grad school, well, grad classes are in the evenings. Right. And so sometimes I think one of the first feelings or things that, you know, sort of things that I sensed at that time was just this feeling of like being out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being out of place, you know. And I was in a city that's predominantly white, in a part of the city that's predominantly white. And not that I had any problem with that, but you find yourself in some situations. I'm gonna tell you this story. So once I was walking back to my apartment after class, and I think this lady had just finished shopping or something, and she was carrying some of her groceries. Obviously, it was too heavy for her to carry alone, and some of it dropped. And I tapped her, and I was like, "Hey, I think you dropped this," and I wanted to help out. I mean, it's been a while since I saw someone that terrified.
Wow!
Just the terror on her face was—you
could touch it. You could almost touch it.
It was palpable. And, you know, and then you have, you know, I used to hear people, now I hear people talk about, oh, you're walking on the road and people see you from a distance and they cross the other way. And I'm like, oh, so at that time, I didn't understand it, right? I just knew it was sort of weird and it's like, okay, what's going on? But so I think the first one was that sort of feeling out of place. But then at a point, I think you just kind of realize that all of that is, you know, meaningless, really. It's inconsequential. It's like you're pursuing something more. And then very quickly, it changes the way you think, and you just, I guess, stop caring.
You know, stop caring, though?
I mean, obviously, there are times it makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in my experience, I just don't take it personal anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you just don't take it personal anymore.
Some of them, not all of them. Some of them you learn to live with. I just like, you know what? Why? You're just ignorant. But like some of them So.
Yeah. And then you have interactions. And so, bringing this back to what we were talking about home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you have interactions, and there are times that people do things and the response you give them is a lot milder than it would have been.
Yeah.
Because you just have the sense that, well, you're not at home. Mm-hmm. It's like you didn't go to jail in your country. Why would you come?
Why would that one come and say, yeah, exactly.
And lose your temper and go to jail for what?
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. And so, in a way, it's you're very conscious of the fact that, well, you're not at home.
If I say this, yeah.
If I say this or if I do this. And at the same time, you have to make the most of the situation. It's like, you know, you're not at home, but you have to. It has to become home for your own purposes.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let anyone make me feel like I don't belong here.
Belong here, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about two things real quick, right? And this is like talking about that home idea. Mm-hmm. In Minneapolis, when George Floyd was killed, around the same time, you know, I was feeling completely down. Like, I was just like, I can't do this. This is so close to home. Emotional. And then Nigeria, of course, there was the NSARS movement literally around the same time. So around that time was like both homes for me were on fire, and I hated both homes at that time. Have you ever, like, at some point questioned, this one is not really feeling like home, and then the other one isn't really feeling like home, where do I fit in the poem, in the words of Ijeoma Ijeonubo, I think I'm messing up her name, I'm sorry. And she said, too foreign for here, I think too foreign for there, never good enough for both or something like that. And it's just literally at that point in time, I was just like, yeah, that's how I feel right now. What has been your experience as a Black man, you know, when sometimes Nigeria is just being Nigeria, stupid, or America is just being America? With privileges.
So you know, back to the story I told you about going to Nigeria in 2019.
Yeah, let's talk about that actually.
When I got there, I have a friend
mm-hmm.
Who lives in Ikoyi. We grew up together, you know, Bauchi, every
oh, anyway. You're an also boy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We are only Yoruba in name. Stark Hausa boys. Anyway,
that is crazy.
So he lives in Ikoyi, and you know, I stayed with himself and his family, and you know, we had a lot of time to hang out and talk. But I was also there for a study, so every day I would go out, talk to people, and you know, get some of the data I was there to get. And things felt very different.
Mm.
Even before going there, obviously, I speak with my parents, my family, and I hear things that that just make me think, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it keeps getting worse and worse. And then you go there and experience it for yourself. And it's for me, it was annoying and frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I guess the one reason it was annoying and frustrating was because I've gotten used to something different here.
A working system, like
exactly, a working system.
Yeah.
But then there are also times that, you know, there are things about here that just, and this is what gets me, this is what makes me realize that whether I like it or not, to some extent, this has become my home. It's like when something happens here and it gets to you emotionally, there's no way of trying to, you know, argue that this is not home to you, because if it wasn't home, then it wouldn't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you feel when you got on the flight to go to Nigeria? And then how did you feel when you got on the flight to come back?
Oh, I wish you didn't ask that question.
I want to know, because for me.
Okay. So I left from, I think I flew from Houston, Frankfurt, Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
So Houston, I was excited to be going back to Nigeria. I was happy. You know, you could see people around seated, maybe speaking Yoruba or
Igbo. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay, these people are probably going in the same direction, you know. And I was excited. And then we got to Frankfurt. And when we got to the gate where we bought the plane, you could already see the Nigerian mentality coming out in people.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, like when you have when you have the person at the gate literally begging us to form a line.
Yeah.
So that we can get on board. And you have adults. I mean, and so already that little just annoyance, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. And then got to Nigeria. And right from the airport, it was just obvious that.
Like, Auntie, what did you bring? Anything for the boys?
And exactly, Auntie, what did you bring? Anything for boys? Ah, yeah. Mosquito go kill you for here. They are telling you from the airport.
Yeah.
And you know, those are I guess those are little things that just, they are annoying.
Yeah.
But they don't quite mean anything. Okay. And then day one, day two, and then you start having the situation where, you know, Olokba is rubbing his AK-47 and asking you any bread for boys.
Yeah.
And it's like...
you should be getting paid by your government, not me.
Anybody who kills you here will go scot-free. Nothing will happen.
Yeah.
At least Judge Floyd. Somebody, you know, justice. You know, there will be justice.
Some justice. So, yeah, let's define justice, right? Is it the slap on the wrist type justice, or... I think in America, the thing is, we have the conversation sometimes, you know, it's in the open. In Nigeria, it's just, oh, am I being sorry? You know, we move on. That's even if anybody talks about it, or if anybody like takes responsibility for their actions. But in America, sometimes even with all the evidence, even with all the evidence, right?
Yeah,
you still see some things that you're just like, how is this person walking free? You know, and that, I know, which is more heartbreaking, not knowing or knowing and still be like, yep, I don't know.
You know, in a way, I feel like it's almost, I don't know whether to call it a curse of knowledge, but it's like when we were in Nigeria. If the same thing happened, if a cop knelt on someone's neck for 9 minutes and the person died, it would be like, you know, it happens. It's like it happens so much. We've become desensitized to it.
But
then, in some sense, we've come and seen a system that works. And I mean, I've never been, you know, mistreated by a law enforcement person.
Have you ever been pulled over by one?
I mean, I've been pulled over, but to be frank, I was over speeding, and so.
But what was your feeling when they came?
To be frank, it was the initial feeling was one of terror, and I don't know. You know, maybe it was, you know, just knowing that things could go south.
Yeah.
And I need to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to come across as being as non-threatening.
Non-threatening,
and as respectful. And just calm and respectful and just
hi, sir.
You know. Yeah, hi, sir. Yeah, exactly. And just use that with you and me.
Telling you, okay.
But I you know, in a way, at least it's, at least like you said, at least that conversation is there. At least that conversation is there, and so there are, you know, there have been times here where I feel like this is definitely not home for me.
Yeah,
I mean, we can talk about that on so many levels. On, you know, for instance, when it comes to immigration, depending on where in the process you are. We could talk about that in terms of the organization where you find yourself, what attitudes are, and whether, you know, there's a culture that makes you feel like you belong there. We could talk about it in terms of just the culture generally.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a student from one of my classes who has taken several classes with me, and you know, if you know anything about professor-student, it's like a student takes one class with you and then they're like, wow, I like taking classes with this person.
Yeah,
and then
I'll come back.
Another class and then another class with you.
Yeah.
And at some point, they feel like they can relate with you as someone they want to learn from, you know. And you know, you start having more and more of those conversations when they are thinking about, okay, what career path and mm-hmm. what they want to do going forward, you know. And this student was like, you know what? You're the only Black professor I've ever taken. No, actually, she was like, you're the only Black professor, or you're the only Black male professor I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. And it just felt, in a way, I felt sad
mm-hmm.
because I thought, well, it's Chicago. I mean, if this was happening in some obscure town in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Iowa or something. Or,
yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be shocked, but I was like, this is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and you have, there are times when you have one-on-one conversations with students, and this is a first-generation student who is yeah. also trying. So you know that from based on what the family structure is like, they don't have a lot of support or guidance,
yeah.
on sort of forging a career path for themselves. And so
I know that silence.
You know, so there are times when, sorry, I think I went off on a tangent. Anyway,
no, it's okay.
There are times when you feel totally at home here and like, okay, I belong here. There are times when you sort of don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been conversations I've had with students. I've had students who dropped out or who were thinking about dropping out, usually first generation students. You know, people talk about, oh, the need to support first generation students and all that. I can tell you it's legit. And so there are times when I've not felt at home. And then there are times I've realized, you know what, there's no place I can really say I feel completely
at home anymore. Yeah.
And yeah. It's just like,
let's explore that, right? So we grew up in Nigeria and then we moved and then here we are. We both went back to Nigeria. It's different. Mm-hmm. And then we're here and we're building our own, we're redefining culture for ourselves here. You know, we're merging the Nigerian culture that we like to the new mm-hmm. one, to the Western world that we appreciate, right? And we're building and we're rebuilding. We're unlearning and then learning and relearning some things, right? When it comes to home in this new place, what's home like to you? Mine is like a pillow, okay? I don't care about the bed. I don't care about the whatever room. Just give me a pillow, give me my hands, and give me a blanket, and that's home for me. If there's Gary and Granite, even better. Okay.
I can relate.
I'm telling you, like
Gary, granite, and cold water.
Thank you very much. Every other thing. And then rice. Of course, rice is big. but like I literally, every military thing I go to, I always take Gary and granite with me just because, you know, safety first. I don't know what's going to happen, but Gary and granite will always be big. So a pillow, a blanket, and my arms for me. What are yours?
I think I would describe mine more or less in terms of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, looking at the places I've been, so I was first in, you know, Omaha,
mm-hmm.
Nebraska.
Oh my God.
That's what Chioma says. That's what Chioma says every time I tell her.
Yeah.
And she's just like,
I don't know what you're thinking going to Omaha, but.
And then I've been in Texas, small town, Lubbock.
Okay, never heard of it.
Yeah, I know. and now I'm in Chicago. And when I think about those three places, I think it was about finding, you know, just finding like-minded people. Mostly consisted of old, mostly white.
Interesting.
People. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and maybe I'm guessing that's a function of where I was, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, old, mostly white people, most of whom I met at church.
Okay.
That has been my experience. And I think that I would say that it's not particularly, I think I would say it's mostly because I feel like I could connect with them on one of the most important things to me, which was faith.
Faith?
Yeah.
Okay.
And once we had established that common ground, then all the other sort of differences sort of became inconsequential.
Okay.
And I
okay.
felt at home around them. I still talk a lot with the people I made, I formed relationships with in Texas.
That's amazing.
Funny though, I can't say I've exactly felt that way since I came to Chicago.
What? In the Black City?
I know. That's interesting.
Okay, that is interesting.
I don't understand why. So the first day I ever stepped in Chicago, I went to a Starbucks to get coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there was like two people there, just two different people there,
mm-hmm.
just speaking Yoruba on the phone loud.
Oh, wow.
And on one hand, I was like, oh, well, that's interesting.
That experience
is Chicago, right? But on the other hand, it just felt weird.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I was in another country, in another place for the first time, I wouldn't be speaking my language so loudly that, everyone outside the door of the
place
where I was could hear. I don't know exactly why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just haven't felt that way in Chicago yet.
Huh. How long? You said 2 years in Chicago.
2 years. Oh, well, almost 2 years.
Wow. Okay. I hope you feel like that. But it's interesting because when I went to Nigeria, I remember feeling, oh my God, so excited. Like, yes. Everywhere Pidgin English, everywhere Yoruba, everywhere people like me. And it was fun, but after a while, maybe because I was also there for work and I was there for 6 weeks, it was long.
Okay, yeah.
I was working. It was just like, I got tired. When I got on that flight back, I remember being like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, literally, it felt like, oh, okay, I'm coming back to some sanity. Yeah, so there's that feeling of home here, and it's interesting. Yeah,
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, have you ever there's a feeling I sometimes have, and I'm wondering whether you've had that same feeling. It's a feeling that you're never going to be completely at home in any one place or at any one time.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And that's never going to happen. It's not a reality.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think so. Since I left Nigeria, I've only gone back twice. One in 2016 and one in 2021. And I feel like 2021 actually sealed that for me, because going back, I realized how different I was, even in mentality and things, the way I do things, the way I mm-hmm. see some things now. And knowing that I'm also the other here, every chance that little box tells me what you are or whatever, knowing that I'm considered a minority here also, that lives freely with me. And like I said, I learned early enough in my immigration journey process mm-hmm. to let me be home, to let my hands be home. So far I have myself, so far I have my hands. I will always be at peace wherever I am. But that definition of a place, I don't know, it's never really been my thing, which is interesting because I remember having a conversation with my friend And we're talking about, oh, my kids are going to go back to Nigeria at some point. If I raise my kids here, they're going to go back to Nigeria at some point, maybe 3-4 years, middle school, high school, just to learn a little bit about a different culture. And doesn't even have to Nigeria, maybe other like live in other countries for sure, just so they are not just boxed into the American ideology or American world type thing. Let them see a different world from what they're raised in, which is why I feel like immigration or traveling, it would always help. Yeah. And she was like, oh, it's a lie. You know, like when the time comes, I'll remind you that you said, I was like, I know for sure I might do it. I would love to ideally do it. Maybe not just Nigeria, maybe like a high school in some African country. I don't know, other place. Home for me is Nigeria. Home for me is Minneapolis. But true home for me is wherever I'm able to just have my peace and my hands to myself, because I create with my hands. And guys, my hands are, yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing hands, just imagining hands after the last conversation we had. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
People have described home to me in many ways, but hands, okay.
So, yeah, my arms are, they're in, yeah. Maybe because I'm also a creative, like my dreams in my head, they come out through this, right? And I'm not one to like, also like, I'm learning, y'all, to like talk about, you know, things with people, whatever. So alien life again, holding myself and just crying and wiping my own tears were things that my hands did for me. And you know, when they say place your hands on your heart, if you see that beat, that's still purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm that literal person that like press my hands on my heart and just like feel the beat, so that I know that whatever it is I was going through, you know, would pass. So my hands for me, they're huge. But yeah. How about you?
Well, there was a couple of things you said about just, you know, being at peace with yourself, and you know, being at peace with yourself, your hands. I think it's a little bit of that as well. Me being at peace with myself. Usually finding a community.
You're really huge in people, aren't you?
I am. Okay. I am. I'm very huge in people. I don't make a lot of friends. I can count. I think I can count my friends on one of my fingers. On one of my hands.
See my life on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I can count my friends on one of my hands, and I'm very. So when I move to a place new, I would usually find, you know, maybe a community. Sometimes someone from work becomes part of that community, right? Maybe just one or two people. Sometimes someone from church. Sometime, but it takes a while. And you know people you can do community with, and you know, people who, I guess, who you know instinctively, they care about you and they have your best interest at heart. And so it's funny, you know, when I think about home, I think about people.
People,
huh? Yeah, I think about people.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, now when you talk about peace, like having, you know, me being at peace with myself, friendship with Ngozi, one of my closest friends, is actually beginning to feel like home. Hi, Ngo.
Yeah. I mean, and that's definitely a good thing. And one of the things we talked about, if you remember the last conversation we had, was about.
I feel how, like, we need to release that your conversation before we release this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about how even when people think about relationships,
mm-hmm.
they are thinking about a place that they can call home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a relationship, it's a person, but usually it's also like a space, you know, where you and that person can coexist.
Like, yeah.
It just feels like everything else is on the outside, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. What's the next question? Let's go. We're running out of time.
So, interestingly, I was going to ask you what groups you belong to, since we're talking about community. What are at least some groups that you belong to?
Sensorant. Represent. I am a member of the military.
Okay, or let me put it in another way.
Okay.
Or maybe what,
yeah,
I guess what groups or, you know, communities you are a part of that maybe makes you feel like, you know.
That is a difficult one, because as much as people think I'm an extrovert, I do love my room. So I have like small tolerance for the outside, So I'm a member of the military, so I belong to that. I once in a while attend like the female leadership forum, stuff like that. I used to be a member of IIBA. It's for business analysts, whatever. I'm recently finding myself within the agile leadership environment, just for like looking for mentors and trying to transition into civilian roles. I am finding myself amongst other writers. Yes, that's a beautiful one. I wouldn't say I belong to like a clique or anything, but I would once in a while, you know, go into like writing forums or writing whatever things people have going on. I used to volunteer a couple years ago. I need to get back to it. Yeah, I used to volunteer as a food chef.
Yeah.
That was a nice little community. Okay. So even in all of this, you won't look at people's database and see my name on, because I don't sign up for those things. I just go support, do whatever, and just go.
Yeah.
How about you? Black Professors Association of Chicago.
Oh, I wish.
Black Association of Omaha.
I belong to some, you know, academic professional associations, but those are just associations that are strictly work related, right?
Yeah, okay.
We meet to, you know, present research, you know, look at each other's work.
That's why I'm never going to do a PhD. I'm not researching anything. You should just
you'll be shocked. It will creep upon you.
I reject it.
And then suddenly I'll just hear from you. You know what?
Like legit guys, if I ever come on this channel to say I'm going for a PhD, please do not let me do that to myself. Okay, thank you. No, I'm not.
I'm happy we're recording this just for
Harvard or Yale or something would give me like honorary doctorate, you know, give me 5-10 years down the line, but I don't think so. Yeah.
I mean, those professional organizations, like, they are strictly professional, work related. So, I mean, I wouldn't really consider those. The ones that mean the most to me are like, so I'm part of a small group.
Okay.
I'm part of a small group of people who I met with. You know, at church. And then you know how you start chatting with people, and then you realize you have, you know, some things in common.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I don't know what's it what it is with me.
In common, yeah.
Once again, just old white people. Seriously.
Maybe your other life, you were an old white man. And then you came up like, let's go experience the other side. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah, just like old white, nice folks. So yeah, I have a small community of those people.
That's amazing.
You know, who I, you know, meet with every week actually now. Yeah.
Virtually or in person?
In person.
Oh, look.
Yeah, I know. All right. And then sometimes we just go hang out. And,
that's amazing. I don't know if I can commit to anything weekly at this point in my life. I'm like, yeah. Especially in person. Let's commit from the middle of my bed, fam. Like,
no, see, the thing is, we didn't even think about it as committing to meeting once a week.
Mm.
Right? It just started as those informal, you know, coffee meetings where someone texts you at 6 p.m. and it's like, hey, do you want to meet up tomorrow morning? And I'm like, yeah, I'm free tomorrow morning.
You're free? Wow, okay.
Yeah. And then you just start chatting and, you know.
That's good. All right. So the last question, should we round it up or do we have more questions? Let's go.
In one sentence, if you were to, I feel like in a way we've sort of touched on this from so many angles, but the example you gave, what you said about, I think you talked about volunteering,
mm-hmm.
and that made me think about the fact that it made me think about home as finding. The meaning of your life, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it made me think about the volunteering work I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you can find so much happiness and fulfillment in something you are not paid to do.
Bruh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was about 4 years ago. I was working with children, refugees.
Oh.
And I used to be an ESL teacher.
Oh, that's so great. So ESL, ladies and gentlemen, means?
English as a second language.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, and so I had all these kids from Sudan, Somalia, some from Burma, Thailand, Nepal.
Wow.
And tiny refugee kids, some of them could speak English. Most of them couldn't speak English, but I mean, they were sharp.
Yeah.
They were smart, very smart. You know, and I mean, when I think about it, those are some of the places, and not just places, physical spaces, but the moments where I felt like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Like, and I belong here.
And that physical measure doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this is my turf, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's I think that, I mean, if you think about home as a space that belongs to you,
yeah,
you know, and where you feel like you belong and you have peace and, you know, and calm, you know, those are all things that sound a lot like fulfillment and, mm-hmm. and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I guess that's we amazing. Could say home is an intangible thing after all.
That's what Shay says. Home is an intangible thing. If you do agree, let us know in the comment section below what you think. But other than that, thank you so much for watching this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. What is your definition of home? Who is home? What is home? Let us know in the comment section below. Whatever it is you want to do, whoever it is you want to become, all you have to do is start. And if that means starting from home, I wish you all the very best.
Bye. I like that.